Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us. This week, it's Everton v Stoke. We've got Stephen Grant and Simon O'Brien.
Hello there, how are you?
Yeah, this is the podcast. You can do all sorts on this, like extra content or just stay quiet. It's up to you.
All right then, yeah, fair enough. Great. Really enjoyed
okay.
it.
Okay, great. And for Stoke City, it's Nick Hancock and Natalie Sawyer. Hello to you.
Hello there. Natalie, you're going to tell that story later?
Yes, sure.
Good.
We'll do.
All right, same story. There we are. Very, very good. So here's the podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker, and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that pits fan against fan in a gladiatorial combat of wits. Our guests are given the opportunity to fulfil a lifelong dream and represent the team they've always supported. But who will be the fantasy footballer and who will be a living nightmare? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Yes, this week sees Everton take on Stoke. Representing Everton is actor and presenter Simon O'Brien, who's alongside team captain Stephen Grant. Hello to you two.
Hi there, Charlie.
Thank you very much for coming in. On the team sheet for Stoke, it's a welcome return to comedian and presenter Nick Hancock. Back again, Nick.
Hello there.
As always, lovely to have you. And who's with team captain Natalie Sawyer. Hello, Natalie.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, hello, hello. Enjoying life under Ancelotti, Simon?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were talking about it just before we started, you know, the sight of Duncan Ferguson, Nick was saying, pulling Carlo Ancelotti away from the ref. You never thought you'd see that day at Goodison Park.
Things you thought you'd never see. Ferguson calming someone down.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought he was pulling him back so that he could have a go.
He's not worth it, Carlo. He's not worth it. Now, Stephen, you're in Brighton. And were you ever tempted by any other teams than Brighton?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, but of course, growing up and as a Brighton fan, we were languishing in the fourth sort of tier of the professional triangle.
Yeah. You played Torquay once in the league. That's how low you dropped.
I know. It's great times, great times. And I think we actually lost as well. It should just go show how far we've come. And you haven't.
Nope.
But more importantly, it was weird being a Brighton fan because it was surrounded by the Glory Hunters. The Glory Hunters of the day were Man United fans.
Yeah.
And I am the father of two young boys now who I've adamantly tried to bring up as Brighton fans.
Of course.
And they're age of 6 and 7 where everyone around them can pick their favourite teams. And it's really tough because they're in a sea of Liverpool fans right now, and I try to get them into the games. I've got the strip and I've got all the stuff.
Lovely.
And I take them away, and all they know is anger, misery and disappointment. It's all they know, and everyone's telling me it'll make them stronger people later, but they hate it. I say, do you want to come to the football? Because no, daddy, it's sad.
Well, a season in the Championship will do them good, then, won't it?
They get to grow up near the sea. I'm a Stoke fan and I live in Stoke.
Landlocked.
The Trent Mersey Canal, you know, that's about it.
Nick, did you ever wish you supported someone else?
It's the most ridiculous comment I've ever heard in my life.
But
anathema. No.
Not
never,
Port Vale.
Never. No. Not never.
Not never.
No way.
No way. So what was how old were you for your first game?
Seven, I think I was. I went seven when I went with my granddad.
Yes.
And we won 1-0 against Huddersfield Town.
It's often granddads that end up taking their grandchildren first, isn't it?
Because
take him off my hands.
Yeah.
Do something with him. Yeah. Come on, then.
And dads would often be working on a Saturday
of course.
Those far off days.
Yeah. And Natalie, any pressure from your family to support anyone other than Brentford?
No. Do you know the funny thing is, football in my family isn't a generational thing in terms of it's not being passed down the line. My dad was not interested in football until me and my brother showed some interest.
Oh.
And then he became a fan. So really, football for him came when he was about 50.
You invented it. Yeah. He supports Brentford as well.
And now he's very much Brentford.
He's not like a QPR.
No, no, we're all Brentford.
Flicking you the V's on a Saturday.
No, no. Well, we'd certainly laugh.
He does that.
Yeah.
He does do that. He does that anyway, you know. But yeah.
That's just a general thing
brilliant.
In the Sawyer household.
Right, so the scene is set for Everton v Stoke. To seal kick off, we start with a clip from the days before mobile phones, when if a team couldn't get hold of a player, there was only one thing to do, contact the TV show Saint and Greavesy.
One call this morning from the Welsh FA, who I believe have lost a player.
Did they reverse the charges, I asked myself. They've lost a player.
They've lost a player.
It's a bit careless, isn't
it? Well, someone has pulled out the squad and they would like us to contact Mark Bowen, who I believe, because Norwich don't have a game today, he's down in Dorset. So if you're in the pub watching it, Mark, get on to the FA because you're going to be included for that Finland game.
Oh, yeah. Get that cider out of the old system, son. You might be playing.
Of course, in these days, when there isn't St. Greaves, you'd have to be told on Saturday Kitchen, wouldn't you? if more Bowen's watching Saturday Kitchen.
Put your utensils down. Yeah. Get your boots.
Maybe this is a service you could offer, Natalie, on your show every day with Jim. You know, if any teams can't get hold of their players, just, or you're late for training.
Yes.
You could read out a list of people who are late for training.
Yeah, we
could.
Call Natalie. Oh, that'd be lovely. We could dish out the fines ourselves.
Lovely, Natalie, yes.
If professional footballers were like Sunday footballers and just waited on street corners to be picked up, you'd just find a player anyway. Because on a Sunday morning, if you drive around long enough, you can get a squad together very simply.
That was considered quite advanced at the time. We have to remember that. They were probably thinking, we can phone in a show, they can put it out, and then it will reach Dorset. Their minds would have been blown.
It won't have reached Dorset.
30 years before then, they had to put his picture on a carton of milk or something like that.
That's why he'd gone to Dorset, because he knew no one watches football programmes in Dorset.
Yeah, that's true.
To be fair, actually, if you've been to Dorset, no offence to our friend from the southwest here, the mobile phone reception is such that the Saint and Greavesy solution is still the best solution available. Yeah.
They could have written in sand and Lulworth Cove. Couldn't
they? Waiting for the tide to go out.
Yeah.
What a lovely idea. Right, here's the question, though. Yeah. Can you tell me where are Wales in the current FIFA rankings? It's sealed bids, so whilst both teams confer, here's a short musical interlude. Right, I've got the bids from both teams, Everton and Stoke. Everton, you have said 24, 24th in the world. Stoke, you have said 19th.
Yeah.
The answer... Ooh. Is 23rd, 23 in the world. Very, very close. Very, very close, Stephen and Simon. They are between the USA and Ukraine. So that means, Everton, you will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest here today as we do this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
Yes, it's my club's bigger than your club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. And this isn't about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Everton are going to go first. Simon, your 30 seconds starts now.
Right, well, Everton are the biggest club. It started in 1982. That's where I can take it back to. That's when it was proven, because Stoke has a capacity of, I think it's 30,089. Yeah, we've got a capacity of 35,200 and something. If you take up the average height of a supporter who goes, that's 1.7 metres. So that means the Stoke is 51,151 metres high. Wow. Everton are 67,272 metres high. Nice. But then you've got to factor in the players, bearing in mind the crouch factor, okay? So put the players on it, that gives you a total size of 75,162.025 metres for Stoke and 75,162.05 metres for Everton. Therefore, Everton are bigger. And it all comes down to 0.025 metres, which we know we can convert to 2.5 centimetres, yeah? And of course, post-Brexit, 2.5 centimetres is now an inch again. Okay, and in 1982, you sold us Adrian Heath.
Inchy.
Therefore, that's the difference between the teams. That transfer, we are an inch higher than you. We are a bigger club. Fact.
Beautifully done on science, on absolute facts.
School of Science, mate.
There is the School of Science.
This is a fact-based society.
There we are. Okay, we're going to go over to you now, Nick. Stoke, again, can you tell us why you are the biggest club here today?
Well, it's difficult to argue with maths, isn't it? Now, that was an absolutely lovely argument, Simon. The one thing about Stoke fans is they do know the difference between the words taller and bigger, which are completely different things, or fairly different things. Now, listen, there's two ways to go on this, isn't there? Either I can slag Everton off, or I can big Stoke up. But in fact, I'm going to take the third way, and in a truly Blairite way, I am going to actually big Everton up, because we are so much bigger than them that I'm perfectly happy to say what a fine club Everton is, with the holy trinity of Ball, Harvey and Kendall, the great midfield of Sheedy, Stephen, Reed and Bracewell. My favourite Everton character of all time, the bloke who ran on the pitch after Graham Sharp scored at Anfield from outside the area with the glasses on, doing the pretend aeroplane. How he wasn't Sports Personality of the Year for 1985, God alone knows. But Stoke, like Everton, Everton are a proper club, you know, they've got lovely away accommodation there. You can see some of the pitch from it. But they were founded in 1878, of course, Stoke's founded in 1863, so 15 years older. And I think 15 years more mature. We're not as vulgar as Everton. Everton have done that horribly vulgar thing that new arrivists do. They've won things. What a ridiculous, show-offy thing to do. Terrible. To win things. It is absolutely disgraceful. And the other thing is that we may not be the biggest club in the world, but we are the biggest club in our own city, and have never lost to Port Vale, to under-21 side in the FA Cup. Mm. So there I am going to end my diatribe.
There we are. Wow-wee. Amazing.
Can I leave now?
No.
You just offended me.
No, I like Everton.
You offended me for two reasons. You really offended me for two reasons. Yeah. One, because we don't win things either. So therefore, that's a spurious point.
Compared with us, you do.
And we are by far the biggest club in our city, aren't
we? Well, you know, I'm tempted to go for that.
I mean, you did make the mistake of thinking football was about winning things. That was a great point. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah, taller and bigger. Who's fatter? Everton or Stoke fans?
Can we establish
that? I think we'd have a go for that.
But I mean, away accommodation, I'm assuming you meant the away end by that.
Well, the away
not
corner.
Not some nice Airbnb you found.
It isn't actually an end, is it? It's a corner. Right up at the top there.
It is right up in there. Yeah. I hate that when they put you up.
St James Park's the third tier for you up in Newcastle.
Yes, St James Park's ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like going to the City of London Stadium. Mm. It's awful.
You get the lower bullens as well with the wooden floor, so you can stamp your feet.
Yes,
we all
love a bit of stamping of feet. Well, there'd be wooden flooring at the new ground.
I think they should do it for tradition's sake.
Or just you could bring your own plank of wood with you.
Football's all about the two M's, movement and positioning.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Right now, it's time for this. Yes, it'll be Jim White on the night. Jim's going to list a series of clues about the identity of someone from the world of football. All you have to do is guess who. Feel free to dive in with your answer. First one to guess correctly gets the two goals that are up for grabs. Here's Jim with the first clue.
Who am I? I was named after the inventor of the light bulb.
Anybody?
Edison.
Edison. He's gone with Edison.
Or Thomas.
It's spelled differently, though.
It's not the answer. Apparently, it's not the answer. Thomas. Anyone else?
Thomas.
Thomas. No. Okay, next clue, please, Jim.
I starred in a film alongside Sylvester Stallone.
Anybody want to have
a guess? I think I know it is. I think it's gone.
Pelé.
I think it's Pelé. Let's find out from Jim.
I am Pelé.
He is Pelé. Very, very good.
Edson Arantes do Nascimento.
Exactly. There he is, Edison. Oh, yes, of course. What a good clue that was. And the movie was?
Victory. I don't understand. Didn't Sylvester Stallone say that he wanted to score the winning goal and didn't understand that a goalkeeper wouldn't do that?
Well,
he's an Everton supporter, isn't he? So he knows nothing about football.
Okay, there we are. Let's have another one from Jim. Jim, can you give us another clue, please?
Who am I? I was born in the Midlands in 1960.
Born in the Midlands in
1960. Is it my friend David Cooper?
David Cooper. Anybody else want to guess?
1960.
Midlands in 1960. Nope. Next clue, please, Jim.
I share my birthday with Winston Churchill.
Gary Lineker.
He's gone, Gary Lineker. Let's find out from Jim.
I am Gary Lineker.
Oh, well done. There we are. Excellent. A draw that round, 2 each.
He's 60 this year.
60 that means years of age.
He's 60 this year.
Oh, yeah.
In 5 years' time, you'll be able to use the phrase Gary Lineker and pass in the same sentence.
Okay, which means at the end of that round, the scores are Everton 4, Stoke 3.
I'm Jim White. I've previously promoted Viagra.
Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as...
Sporting Heretics.
Yes, it's Sporting Heretics. I'm going to invite each member of the panel to share an idea they believe will change sport for the better. They're free to be as unorthodox as they wish as we taunt the traditionalists and poke the Puritans. Previous suggestions have included abolishing halftime, introducing in-game sound effects, and a transfer window for fans. Nothing is off the table as we shake the snow globe of sport and watch where the pieces settle. Natalie, we're going to start with you, and I've got written here Golf Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's kind of a survival of the fittest. Okay. That's where I'm going. It's quite simple. Everyone has to tee off at the same time. So it is the first to complete the 18 holes, obviously with the fewest strokes, but we could add in the who does it the quickest as well. You could wear protective headwear. I'd advise it, but it's optional. It doesn't have to be part of the rules, but it could revolutionise the sport. It can make it a little bit fiercer, a bit more of that competitive edge that you could bring into it. So not only do you have to worry about your game, you also have to worry about others, how they're playing, and you've got to look out for balls coming over your head, for example. And it's just a way of revolutionising the sport, like 2020 is to cricket's test.
Yes.
Match, let's say. So I just think it's all about not only you're testing the way that you play, but it's testing your survival skills as well. I just think it'll make it a bit more interesting.
That's a fantastic idea.
It's like the Shrove Tuesday game of football, isn't it?
Yes.
Just many more people all at once.
Yeah. When you said it first, I thought you meant everyone on a different hole, because they do that. They call that a shotgun start,
don't
they?
Those.
You don't
first
mean
hole.
That. Everyone's on hole one, and it's 3-2-1. They're off. People getting six irons in the face.
A grid system, go on.
Because somebody's got to be at the front.
No, it's one big line.
Like the marathon, they all start at once.
All start at once.
Always hilarious about the marathon.
Yeah.
It's never staggered. They've got the system.
People are trying to pick off the player who falls,
well,
wouldn't
that's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
You get a bonus.
Could you snooker somebody? Effectively, by on the green. Basically just putting your ball in front of where their ball is.
That's nice.
You wouldn't get many mods playing, would you? Because you wouldn't want a target on your back. Thank you, Bob Mills.
3 goals for Natalie Sawyer. Excellent. Stephen says here, true sporting equality.
Yes. It's been long enough now. The assumption of how we title sports, and it's time to finally get with the 21st century. Name all men's sports men's at the beginning. Why do we have boxing and women's boxing? Why do we have football and women's football, rugby and women's rugby? Why not men's football, men's rugby, men's boxing? It's just daft. Why do we automatically assume, like with the Americans, with the .com, they don't have to put the country at the end of it because they just assume with a +1 dialing code. We've been annoyed about that for years. Why can't we apply quality to sports as well? Look at the sports out there, okay, right? It's just daft that we have to say the women's FA Cup. You know, it's the FA Cup, isn't it? It's like, yeah. I mean, yes, we've got the FA that covers it. So why would I have a women's FA? The FA covers both of them. So why not have men's before the names of each of the sports? I mean, you know, we get some of the way there with athletics and tennis, but realistically, assuming men, I think, is just antiquated and out of date. I know a lot of people listening right now to Talk Sport are thinking this is daft, but in the future they'll look back on the fact that we didn't do this and see just how cavemen-esque we were. Okay, now the only direct competition mixed sports I've looked up where this won't apply are the ones where men actually take on women, and this doesn't mean things like mixed doubles and stuff like that where you have to be a specific gender. So the ones who do not have to follow this rule are equestrian events, Formula One, rifle shooting, ultimate frisbee, dog sled racing, and Quidditch. They're literally the only sports
and one of those
where men
up.
Compete with women. Now, Quidditch
Which
does exist, apparently.
Golf.
Quidditch.
Yeah. It's not real, isn't it?
That's not real.
I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it, Stephen. I just think we could lose it altogether. So
instead of adding men's, lose women's.
Just lose women's.
Right, lose women's, which was a...
it's a lovely show. It's been absolutely fabulous. But it is now, isn't it? You know? Shane McDonald I used to like on it.
Oh, love your opinions.
Let's lose the sport as well. Just turn up at venue and they have no idea what's going to be played or whom by.
Stephen, it was a brilliant point, but I'm going to give you two goals.
Right.
Nick.
Hello.
I've got here more than a mid-season break.
Yes. Oh. What's actually really upset me, we know it's Olympic year. We know it's Olympic year. And I read an article the other day that said that they were thinking of having kite surfing in the Olympics. So I want to put forward the idea that the Olympics get scrapped now. It's just got greedy, to tell you the honest. Any sport, they will take it on. They have golf at the Olympics. Mm. They have tennis at the Olympics. And then I thought, actually, do you know what? The whole world of sport has gone mad. We need 2 years off. No sport. We need to get rid of all sport for 2 years. Let's take a step back and think about what it is we have created on this blinking planet. Okay. Just anything can be a game these days. I blame William Webb Ellis.
Okay.
Okay? Because you pick a ball up while playing football doesn't mean you've invented a new game. It means you're cheating. All right? You are cheating. That is not inventing a new game. Okay. That is ruining the old game. Okay. All right? I hate any of those sort of games. Mm. Ball sports. It should not count. It should not count if the ball doesn't move. Golf. It's a stationary ball. Of course you can hit it.
Snooker.
Football. Proper snooker, exactly so. We need to get rid of all of these. Motorsport, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Motorsport. Okay. We need to go back and decide once again what are the proper sports. Motorsport, the beautiful, the melding of human athleticism and human invention. They say, well, put a toaster at the top of a ladder, okay? And let's call it toast steering. It is not a sport just because there is something technical and something physical.
What are the proper sports?
Football and cricket.
That's it, is it?
That's it. So let's go back. People can then apply again.
That's a pretty short Olympics.
Yeah, they can apply, and over the years, I'm not saying that I'm right. We can allow some of these sports back in. Okay, I think running, jumping, fair enough. These are proper
running
sports.
And jumping.
Yeah, that's Olympics. Maybe, if you want to go back to the very beginning, chariot racing or wrestling. You can have those. But really, we need to stop, go back, think about what it is that we want from sport, think what sports are, start again with football and cricket, and then we can add one in every now and again.
It's a huge...
It's a huge leap.
It's
a huge
leap. It's heresy. It really is heresy.
It really is heresy.
You're unemployed.
Nick, it's a great answer, so I can only give you three goals. Finally, Simon, we come to you. I've got written here the penalty lottery.
I believe that, you know, footballers are under enormous pressure as it is. And I think the penalty is just one step too far. You know, you see them. It can make or break a footballer's career. So what I've decided is they have, like, a random computer, like Ernie or something like that, right? And if there's a penalty decided, they spin it, and whoever's seat number comes up has to come out and take the pen.
Yeah. Oh. Lovely.
Because, you know, let's see how you like it, you know what I mean? You're all there shouting.
Pressure's on.
The very important rule is that you also have to go back to your seat, even if you miss.
A longer walk than the one back to the halfway line.
I just think, it give the players a bit of time to reflect and, you know, get themselves together. And it would also be a more fan participation because, of course, this applies to penalty shootouts as well. So on a penalty shootout, you can have 11 fans
all
being pulled down from the stands randomly.
And if you had left to miss the traffic, you could have an empty seat, goal to the other team. Sorry, the seat's empty.
Lovely. You see, we're solving one issue with a new rule.
Simon, it's excellent. I like it. I'm going to give you three goals. It was absolutely excellent.
You can't buy success, although you can if you spend huge amounts of money.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Glory Hunters, the podcast from TalkSport. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both teams' history. Stephen and Simon, we're going to go back to 1987 and this.
Everton Football Club are the kings of English football. Well, not the most graceful lift of the trophy you've ever seen, but who cares about that? Kevin Ratcliffe proudly shows off the trophy. Graham Sharp, the season blighted by injury, but the ultimate prize, the ultimate cure.
Everton were crowned First Division champions for the second time in 3 years with a 9-point lead over second-placed Liverpool. That must have been sweet.
It was sweet. But that was the last of it, wasn't it?
That was the last of it. And what else do you remember of that year? Here we go, question one. Everton's achievement was all the more remarkable as leading scorer Gary Lineker had left the club at the start of the season. But which player bagged the most goals in his absence? Was it A?
Sheedy takes and scores! Hooper couldn't come up with the answer again.
That was Kevin Sheedy, or B?
What a mistake has put Adrian Heath in, and he scored.
Adrian Heath, or perhaps...
Two waiting in the middle. Stephen! Oh, classic!
Trevor Stephen. There we are. Which player scored the most goals in his absence? Kevin Sheedy, Adrian Heath, or Trevor Stephen?
And not my area of expertise, I'm afraid.
No, no, I'm on my own here, aren't I?
If I was to pick from random, just my memory, was that Trevor Stephens was the standout kind of one that everyone talked about.
But Sheedy took dead balls. This is the problem.
He was good, wasn't he?
He certainly was. He scored the best goal I ever... If another player had scored it, you would have seen it time and time again. I think it was against Ipswich. And they lined the wall up and he put it in the top corner.
Yeah.
And so, but the ref said, I haven't blown. So they made him take it back again.
Ugh.
So the goalie shuffled his wall across, took a step over that way, so he put it in the other corner.
Did he, amazing.
He's just unbelievably good player.
Beautiful.
I loved Sheedy. Oh, and just for that reason, I'm going Sheedy.
You going for Sheedy? Let's find out.
Sheedy takes and scores! Hooper couldn't come up with the answer again.
Yeah, Kevin Sheedy. Kevin Sheedy scored 13 league goals that year. Next was Adrian Heath with 11 and then Trevor Stephen with 10. So no one was particularly prolific, but they all chipped in.
Yeah, but everyone was scoring from everywhere.
Question two. 1987 was an interesting year for your character Damon Grant in the Brookside spin-off series Debbie and Damon, as he found himself working as a groundsman at Valley Parade. But can you tell me which ghost is said to haunt the boardroom at Bradford City? What? Is it A, the Duke of Wellington, B, Napoleon, or C, Lord Nelson? Who haunts the boardroom of Bradford City? Duke of Wellington, Napoleon, Lord Nelson. I don't know why you're looking at me in amazement at this question. It seems so obvious to me.
Okay, well, if you're going to do it from who has any connection with Bradford, it would be bonkers to be Napoleon, but then that sort of never really stopped it. And Nelson was very much a sort of a Hampshire and Wiltshire sort of boy.
Yeah.
So I would only, by virtue of method of elimination, say Wellington. But that is just
grabbing. Great question.
I've got a slight problem because you know, they were all around before football.
Before we started. Yeah. Exactly. So this has to be something to do with Bradford
but
the
this
place.
This is to do with your glory years, Simon, as Damon. Is popular.
Wasn't exactly a glory year, I died.
He did die. We were all very sad about it.
You should know that.
Huge shot is up there with Zamo Maguire dying.
There is people now watching on Gold gutted because you've just ruined they are absolute spoiler.
I apologise.
Give me an answer. The Duke of Wellington, Napoleon, or Lord Nelson?
Wellington.
You've gone Wellington. The answer is Lord Nelson.
Wow.
The wood panelling in the boardroom is said to come from one of his ships.
Oh,
bad luck. Why did you not know that? Unbelievable. Question three. 1987 was also the year that saw which of the following players make their debut? Was it A?
Here's Letizia! To say farewell.
Matt Letizia, or was it?
And there's no offside. Ian Wright!
Ian Wright, or perhaps...
Shearer hits it! Oh, what a goal!
Alan Shearer. Who made their debut in 1987? Letiz, Ian Wright, or Alan Shearer?
Well, Shearer was Blackburn striker first year of the Premier League, wasn't he?
He
got transferred there for big money.
Yes.
And he was young then.
Yeah, he was still playing in 99. So, like, what, a 14-year career or something like that? So I mean, like, it would be right at the beginning. But then they're going to pick ones that are right at the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
Letizia is hard to say. Letizia is the one that is, I think, the oldest of those three. But there's not much.
He's always been older.
But he played until he was older.
He's always been 52.
Yeah. He always had a slight paunch, didn't he? Well, he was that good. He could go for a pipe before the match.
Yeah.
Looks like a tall Steptoe.
What are we going for then? Matt Letizia, Ian Wright, or Alan Shearer?
I've no idea, but I were more than happy for you to let you guess.
Do you know what? Yeah, I'll stick with my initial instinct just because of age and say Alan Shearer.
I'm going to go Alan Shearer. Let's find out.
Here's Letizia! Who better to say farewell?
The answer was Matt Letizia. Mm. So at the end of that round, you scored one goal, which makes it 11-10. Natalie and Nick, we're going to go back to the year 2000 and this.
Cavalier pulls it back across the form! He couldn't miss! Brilliantly quick thinking from Stoke to take the free kick. Bristol are protesting to Kevin Lynch about the taking of it.
Yes, Peter Thorne's goal in the 82nd minute saw Stoke beat Bristol City at Wembley to lift the Football League trophy. But what else do you remember of that year? Question one. The club dedicated their win to the memory of Stoke legend Sir Stanley Matthews, who'd passed away earlier that year. But can you tell me what was the pre-match meal favoured by the great man? Was it A, steak, egg and chips, B, mushroom omelette, C, a drink consisting of raw eggs, milk and 4 heaped teaspoons of glucose powder?
He was ahead of his time in his refuelling, in the same way that Gazza was behind his time. I think it probably was the eggs and the glucose, but...
You know better.
I mean, obviously, this was at Blackpool, because in Stoke, you can't get eggs, milk or glucose.
There's a statue of him, isn't there, in Hanley Town Centre?
There's a statue in Hanley Town Centre. There's a statue of him outside the ground.
Is there? Mm. Did you ever meet him, Nick?
Yes, I did. Oh. I did. I met him the time before when we won the Autoglass. I did the dinner for the players and died a terrible, terrible death.
How lovely.
And I sat next to Stanley Matthews and had the great pleasure of having him say, I think you better sit down, son. One of the worst days of my life.
Well, there we
are.
Please, we can listen back to it now.
But not as bad as Bob Mills, who once did stand up for the England squad and pretended to faint. He went so badly.
Oh, no, he did.
Yes, he did. He pretended
we'll
to
ask him that.
He
next time he's
faint.
On, we'll ask him that.
Ask him.
Maybe that's what the whole Torval and Dean thing is, a smokescreen from telling that story. Steak, egg and chips, mushroom omelette, or a drink consisting of raw eggs, milk and 4 heaped teaspoons of glucose powder.
I'll go for that.
You can go for C?
Yeah.
The answer is C.
Yes.
There it is. Raw eggs, milk, 4 heaped, so glucose and protein and calcium. Question two. Who became the most expensive player in English football that year? Was it A?
Hasselbeck. He's fired it past David Seaman.
That was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Or B?
Perez. Oh, beauty. A real beauty.
Robert Perez. Or perhaps...
Ferdinand! He's done it again!
Rio Ferdinand. So was it Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, Robert Perez, or Rio Ferdinand?
Yeah.
We'll go for Rio Ferdinand.
Not
Rio. Rio.
Rio.
Rio.
Go for Rio Ferdinand.
18 million.
The answer is
Rio Ferdinand. Ah. There we are, 18 million. It was the biggest transfer for a defender ever at the time, wasn't it? There we are. Question three. 2000 was also the year of this.
Not a bad looking one. He's through here. And England have the lead through Alan Shearer. Shearer's arm is raised in salute.
Yes, England won their only game of Euro 2000 against Germany, but defeats against Portugal and Romania saw them exit the tournament at the group stages. But can you remember who performed the official England song that year? Was it A? Ant and Dec, or B? That's Fat Les, or C? That's Embrace. Who do you think, Natalie?
I think Embrace was a bit later. And I feel like Ant and Dec would be later as well, but I'm not sure. What do you think, Nick?
I'm not really up with the charts. I do remember Back Home.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
That popular tune.
Yes.
I'm going to go Fat Les.
You're going to go Fat Les? Let's find out. Yes, it was Fat Les, and you got 3 out of 3 in that round. Congratulations, very good. Which makes it Everton 11, Stoke City 13.
I feel as sick as the proverbial donkey.
Now, here on Glory Hunters, we like to probe our panellists in the nicest way possible, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to meet an inquisitive general public as we play A Question of Sport Time. Can we have our first question, please?
Hi, panel. What goal would you guys most like to have scored?
Yes, what goal would the panel most like to have scored? Stephen Grant.
You know what? The only goal that bumps into my head when I think about this immediately is the Gazza goal against Scotland.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
In the 96 Euros, because it's just, it's got that sort of almost poetic dance-like sort of, did that really happen about it? And also, it was the one that, if you remember at the time, just about everybody tried to recreate.
Yeah,
because it was so beautiful, the kind of like catching the volley on the left foot and then kind of scoring with the right. And everyone would recreate, well, actually, they wouldn't recreate the goal. They'd recreate the actual goal celebration, which was basically lying down on the floor of the pub while somebody...
Dentist chair.
Basically, so he said it was a dentist chair, but it was quite clearly a day out drinking, wasn't it? I mean, it was this Gazza we're talking about here. But it was just perfect.
Who doesn't want to recreate that goal? Perfect answer, 3 goals. Natalie Sawyer.
Well, I'm taking you back to 1999. Now, you can have all your wonder goals and the goals of class and technique, but I'm taking you to Cumbria and your team is fighting for survival.
Yeah,
you are
lovely.
Also, well, this is the game. If you lose, you will be relegated, not from, like, as it is now, League One to League Two, but out of the Football League altogether.
Yeah.
The other team that you're up against in terms of who could go down, they're taking on Peterborough, that is Scarborough. They have already finished their game, so they've got a vital point as things stand. They're actually celebrating already because they think that they are going to stay up. But imagine then the Scarborough fans' horror when they hear there has been a goal at Brunton Park, and that goal has come for Carlisle, who have earned themselves a corner right at the end of the game. Time is running out. The ref could blow up at any time, allows that corner to happen. It's do or die. Everyone is in the Plymouth box, as is the goalkeeper from Carlisle, and it is the goalkeeper who scores the goal.
Oh,
Jimmy Glass's historic goal keeps them in the Football League. So I think if you're able to score a goal that actually keeps your side in the league, that has to be the most amazing goal to have scored.
Beautiful. And there's a statue of him.
And there's a statue
of him. And he was on loan.
Because of that goal.
And he was on loan. He was on loan, and I think it's Nigel Pearson was the manager that day, I think.
Right.
If you want to get 3 points, ask a Torquay fan about a goal against Plymouth. And in many ways, you will sweep Torquay.
That's true, actually.
You've done the right thing there.
It was a good answer.
Well, Jimmy Glass, it was a smashing answer. There we go. Very, very good. Three goals.
I love it. See, I like it.
Nick Hancock.
Okay, well, I'd like to choose a goal that I think takes us back to a purer time in football. A goal that shows respect for referees, shows just a simpler attitude to the game and the rules of the game, long before VAR. It's a goal that hates VAR, indeed. It's Alan Hudson's goal for Chelsea against Ipswich Town on the 26th of September 1970. Balls laid back to him. Hudson struck it wide of the goal, hitting the stanchion and coming back into play. And the referee, because he had the power, gave a goal.
No.
It had clearly missed by a long way. And you have to remember at the time, Stamford Bridge, the stand wasn't right behind the goal. There was like a car park behind
everybody
it.
Saw
you
it.
You could not have missed how far this ball had gone wide of the post. Now, not for them. Have the game replayed. No appeals. Just look, if the referee says it's a goal,
deal with it.
It is a goal. None of your Stockley Park, which incidentally they call it Stockley Park because they think stupid football fans will think it's Bletchley Park. And in fact, the UK's greatest mathematicians are there working out all of these things with some prototype computer and Alan Turing. No. This was a pure game. And my favourite thing about that particular game was that then Ipswich scored direct from an indirect free kick. Chelsea won 2-1, including the goal that missed. And the team announcer at the end, the which is a good job you've done yourself, Simon, said, and at the end of the game, as far as we can tell, it's 2-1 to Chelsea. Which I think is a fantastic
thing for the announcer
to say. So there you go, Alan.
It's a great answer. We all learned something. Unfortunately, I'm going to take one goal off because you reminded me of VAR. Which is a big shame, Nick. But I love the story. A fantastic story. Thank you very much. Two goals to you, though. Simon O'Brien.
It would be Dennis Bergkamp. The little flick round.
Yes. What,
flicks the ball around one way, goes round the other way. Defender doesn't even know what day it is anymore. This is not how you play football. And then just pops
beautiful.
In. Every single person, you all know, you were watching that game, you went... What?
Has he done that? Yeah.
I think he was the most graceful footballer we've ever had in this country. I'm a big fan of Bergkamp.
Brilliant.
And I met him once when he was young, when he was still at Ajax.
Yeah.
And I think Madrid had just come in for him, right? And this is the Ajax way. Madrid had just come in and offered some phenomenal amount of money, like 12 million quid back in the day or something like that. And I went, so you're looking sweet there. And he said, no, I'm not going to go. I went... It's Real Madrid, you know. He says, "Yeah, but you know, I think I exit maybe two more seasons."
Oh, really?
Stayed with his club because they brought him through the Ajax system
instead
of taking the big money move. And of course, never went there. Went over to Arsenal. So for his modesty and the right attitude to football at Ajax and the grace of the goal, it'd be Dennis Bergkamp.
Where was that goal?
Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Great goal. But I like my goal scorers arrogant, unfortunately. So I'm going to give you two goals. In the dying moments of the game, we move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. The losing side goes first, which is currently Everton. I'm going to list some of the unlikeliest friendships in sport. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
That is the last question. Thank you very much indeed.
Are we ready? Your time starts now. Jordan Henderson and LeBron James.
True.
It is true. Jose Mourinho and Alan Bennett.
False.
It is false. David Beckham and Tom Cruise.
True.
It is true. Sam Allardyce and The Rock.
False.
It is false. Joe Hart and 50 Cent.
True.
It is true. Floyd Mayweather and Justin Bieber.
True.
True. Lionel Messi and Alec Baldwin.
True.
It's false. Andy Murray and Joe Pesci.
False.
It is false. Cristiano Ronaldo and Lil Wayne.
True.
True. Danny Ings and Michael Gove.
False.
It is false. Serena Williams and Kim Kardashian.
Oh, true.
It is true. Pelé and Mick Hucknall.
False.
It's true. Harry Kane and Michael Bublé.
False.
It's false. Gary Lineker and Willie Thorne.
True.
It is true. Neil Warnock and Jay-Z.
False.
It is false. Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un.
False.
It's true. Robbie Keane and Morrissey.
True.
It's true. Graham, Souness and Ryland.
False.
It's false. Ronaldo and Ed Sheeran.
That is the last question. Thank
Ronaldo
you very much indeed.
I can't believe the king asked it.
Ronaldo and Ed Sheeran.
Ronaldo and Ed Sheeran.
Ronaldo and Ed Sheeran.
Yes, true or false?
I'm going to absolutely say true.
It's true. There we are. An excellent round. You were on fire, Stephen.
Well, he was good.
At the end of that round, you scored 16. Very, very good. Which takes you to 40 goals. Mm. Wowzers. Next up, it's Stoke City, who are currently on 27 goals. And I'm going to list a series of footballers and their tattoos. Ooh. All you have to do is tell me which are true and which are false. You need 14 to win. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Click Google instead of make stupid questions.
OK, are we ready? Footballers and their tattoos, true or false? Your time starts now. Lionel Messi, his wife's lips on his torso.
True.
It is true. Jamie Vardy, an image of Roy of the Rovers.
False.
It is false. Sergio Ramos, his shirt numbers on his fingers.
True.
It is true. Jordan Pickford, goalkeeper gloves on his chest.
False.
It's false. Marco Materazzi, a stack of trainers on his back.
False.
It's true. Kevin De Bruyne, Bugs Bunny on his arm.
False.
It's false. Jay Bothroyd, weapons that spell out the word love.
True.
It's true. Pep Guardiola, an image of the Manchester Ship Canal running across his shoulder blades.
False.
It is false. Dele Alli, the baby from the Flintstones.
False.
It's true. Dean Windass, the Extinction Rebellion logo.
False.
It's false. Fernando Torres, his name spelt in the language from Lord of the Rings.
True.
It's true. Wayne Rooney, a picture of Peppa Pig.
False.
It's false. Hector Bellerin, shirt number on his thigh.
True.
It's true. Sergio Aguero, something spelt in the language from Lord of the Rings, but he doesn't know what it means.
False.
It's true. Eric Cantona, an image of Bruce Lee.
False.
It's false. Eric Lamella, picture of a bulldog on his thigh.
True.
It is true. Niall Ranger, his surname on his head.
Click Google instead of make stupid questions.
You've gone true. It is true. Well, at the end of that round, you scored the required 14, which takes you to 41 goals.
Well done.
Fantastic. Can you take anything positive at all from it, Simon, Stephen?
Well, we were good and we were beaten by better people.
Oh.
So, yeah. Does that sound like...
Doesn't sound that positive.
But,
I was bad and they were better than me.
And also, you know, we Everton never win anything. Stoke win even less. So it's, you know, it's nice. I mean, you know what it feels like.
It's a generosity in many ways.
Yeah. Nice for them to have a go, isn't it? There we are. And winners, what message do you think it sends out to for the rest of the season, Nick?
Well, I just think, you know, we'll put that behind us now. We need to be thinking about the next game. You've got Fulham on Friday. Ooh. Thank you very much, lads. And I particularly like the fact you said we were better people than you.
That was kind. But I think the message is always play to the whistle as well.
Yeah, I feel like I wish I could take goals off for that answer, but I can't now. The game's over.
Not now.
To our winners, we say...
My Delilah.
And for the losers...
Flat, no urgency. They keep saying, oh, well, you know, next game. For some of them, there won't be another game for them. It's the reality for it.
My thanks to Natalie, Stephen, Simon and Nick. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye. Massive congratulations, Nick, Natalie.
I have to say, I was going into that last round for us. I mean, they were tremendous. I was a bit worried, but we pulled it out bad.
By one.
One.
That's all we need.
That's all you need, yeah.
And it was tattoos in the end, Stephen, and you've got a cycling tattoo, haven't
you? I have, yeah.
Would you like to show everyone, show the class?
So 2.5 years ago, I had a major accident, smashed up my collarbone and everything like that. I'd sort of air ambulance a lot and I got a steel plate going from there to there, with a big scar that goes with it. So every time I look at it, I always get a bit depressed. So I've done a little tattoo of myself.
Incredible.
Going
got
down.
A tattoo of himself.
Did the NHS do that? That's really good, isn't it?
They don't offer that as well. Perhaps we'll put that on the Twitter feed as well. There we are. Thanks very much for listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Do rate and subscribe and review. Cheerio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.